Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
A recent study by the Femicide Census found that a woman is killed by a man every 3 days in the UK. In June 2022, there was a violent sexual predator prowling the streets of Ilford, East London, just looking for a victim. The brutal encounter that followed shocked a nation and added to the volume of a growing voice, a voice calling for action to address the serious issue of femicide in the UK. This is what happens when a night out with friends ends in a chance encounter with evil. This is the murder of Zara Alina. I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Let's get on with today's very, very, very sad story. So let's start off with Jordan McSweeney. He's 29 years of age at the time of this crime. He actually was born in Dagenham, so he grew up in Kent, and his background was dysfunctional. It's as simple as that. He came from what we would know as a broken family. Apparently, his mother was a very tiny woman. She didn't have a great stature. And obviously, for anybody out there who has dealt with unruly teenagers, and certainly if you're a female and you're dealing with an unruly male teenager, it can be very difficult to control somebody who is physically way more dominating and domineering than you. And certainly, as a mother, she could not control his behaviour. He was somebody that would trash his own home, he put holes in the walls, he graffitied his own bedroom. People said that he had literally no respect for anyone or anything. And whilst lots of teenagers go through these struggles, it would be remiss of me not to say that I have dealt with hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of young people and young adults, actually, with respect, who do things like punch the wall when they're struggling. This is not uncommon. It isn't completely atypical behaviour in teenagers. But when we're talking about the fact that he refuses to accept rules, when we're talking about the fact that even in his own home, in his own territory, his own bedroom, he just isn't concerned with respecting it at all, it just demonstrates very poor control, because he isn't even able to consider the reality of him damaging that space is actually damaging his own comfort. That demonstrates a real problem with managing his own behaviour. His ex-neighbours, well, I will literally tell you what they said about him. They referred to him as bad and a little shit. I'm sure that many of us in our time may have referred to certain young people in similar ways. It's very descriptive, but you can imagine what they're saying, that somebody who was always in trouble, was probably a real nuisance, was not pro-social in their behaviour, and he's from a very early age standing out as an individual who has potential. And we're not talking about potential in volunteering for the local Salvation Army, we're talking about negative potential. And they're right. They predict this kind of behaviour, those people who know him, because he ends up becoming really notorious in the local community. He gets involved in what we would consider serious antisocial behaviour. And again, this problem with any kind of boundaries is really demonstrative in the way that he acts. So he steals from his friends, he gets into fights, he starts taking drugs and alcohol in vast quantities. So we're not talking about a little dabble on a Friday night with your mates. We're talking high level use of drugs and Unlike some people who, when they take drugs, are quite peaceful or quite happy, this individual gets very violent. So he's exacerbating his already antisocial behaviour by consuming particular substances. Now, one neighbour of his actually recalled having a problem with McSweeney's gang, so this group of young people who hang out together and cause problems in the local neighbourhood. So they've been basically speeding by her on motorways and alleyways. And I've worked in lots of areas where that happens, where you'll just be wandering around, going and getting your lunch, and then suddenly you'll be confronted by a speeding motorbike in an area where motorbikes are not meant to be. There is a culture in certain areas where this occurs, and I would say there is a chaos to the parenting of the kids that we're talking about right now. But this is something I have actually experienced on a relatively regular basis when working with dysfunctional youth. And understandably, she's just going about her business, trying to walk her dogs, and all of a sudden there's like a motorbike speeding past her, and she's annoyed. She reports them to the police, she does the right thing, but there are consequences to that. We see this a lot where communities of unruly youth, they essentially lord power over the people in the neighbourhood. And that's really scary because that mob rule means that people often feel a sense of helplessness and powerlessness. And the consequences for actually doing the right thing and speaking to the local authority, maybe it's about noise incidents, or in this case, it's about illegal activity. Understandably, you're meant to take a particular route. But as I said, if you do that with McSweeney, there's going to be some consequences. So her car, basically, after reporting this, just constantly gets vandalised, gets stolen. And following one of the incidents where her car is actually stolen, they find McSweeney's palm print on her car. Now, what's really interesting about this is out of all the kids that she knew in that gang, all of them are obviously problematic. But out of all of them, he was the one in the gang who seemed to be relatively friendly. So he would stop with her and he would chat with her. And I think that demonstrates that real malevolence within his nature, that he's doing that. He's able to act nice. He's able to chat with this woman. And all the while, he's likely the ringleader in causing all this damage to her car. And I think he likes that Jekyll and Hyde power, that she's talking to basically somebody who's really affecting her life negatively and she's not aware of it. He knows that he's causing her the damage, but she isn't conscious of that. And he's enjoying lording that over her. And again, that demonstrates a level of manipulation. It's Machiavellian, I would say. It's a Machiavellian quality. It really is. And actually, when you think about certain individuals, they will have what's known as the dark triad. So this dark triad is something that you will see in really high-level trolling, for example. Now, I know that there's a lot of ideas that trolls are just these sad people who sit in their bedrooms and don't really want to do any damage and just like to be with the community of other people and blah, 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 blah. But actually, there's a lot of evidence that says it's not quite as innocent as that. It's not quite as sad as the person just feeling so lonely they want to connect, even if it's in a negative way. No, many of these particular high-level trolls, they're shown to have the dark triad of personality traits, which is Machiavellian, narcissistic, and psychopathic. Ting, ting, ting. You don't want those in anybody that you know, because they're horrible people. You're not going to be able to help them. But certainly what I'm seeing there with McSweeney is a level of that Machiavellian intent. And I think we're probably going to be able to fill in the other two during this particular story. So this is what the neighbour's quite surprised by, that he seems to be quite pleasant and yet there's this dark, sinister side to him. I would say as he's growing up, McSweeney's got this massively checkered history, to say the least, and he's basically growing from an early age into what we would coin as a career criminal. And he didn't just get involved in things like TWOC, so taking without an owner's consent, which is car related, doesn't just get involved in fights with his friends or stealing from his friends. We're talking about past violent crimes. So criminal career beginning as a teenager basically starts to appear in the courts around 13 years of age, which again is young. You're only a couple of years out of primary school at this point, and he's in the juvenile system. So he first appears at 13, and the reason for that is he burgles a house in his own street. In fact, I say he burgles a house. I'm actually incorrect in that. He burgled many houses on his own street. Now, I know instantly what we're all thinking is, McSweeney isn't the brightest tool in the box, is he? Because distance, it's always quite handy, isn't it? Have a little bit of distance. You don't want to steal at your address because I don't know. Everyone knows you, and I don't know. When you're seen in somebody's home or near somebody's home that happens to be burgled and you're known as the local ruffian, it's not going to end well. So McSweeney...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's not exactly a bright light in the intellectual world. But nonetheless, this is what he's doing. Again, what did I say at the very beginning? What are we talking about here? Very, very low boundaries because of the fact that he's actually going and causing himself issues in his own neighbourhood. And aside from the obvious, which means that you're going to get caught much more quickly, it also brings in a whole heap of other social issues. So no one's going to like you. Everyone's going to be looking out for you. People are going to know your reputation before you do anything. Even if you're not guilty of something, people will assume you are. So you're bringing a whole heap of problematic behaviour and heaping it on your own shoulders by doing the crimes close to you. But he's not concerned about that. So basically, the police were literally in and out of his home from a very, very young age. And he ends up spending most of his youth at a Borstal centre in Rochester. So Borstal is a place where they would send dysfunctional young men and women, mostly men with respect. And this one in Rochester is where he actually went. It's not an enviable place to be at. They could be quite difficult. And certainly, if you were electing to go somewhere, you certainly wouldn't elect to go there. But again, the consequential feedback isn't really punishing him. There are some individuals who have such a negative, I suppose you could say soul, but certainly personality, character, that it really doesn't concern them when they're locked up because they're still powerful in those environments. They essentially learn to out-psychopath the next psychopath, shall we say. And even though he's too young at this moment in time to be classified this way, arguably the behaviour that we're seeing doesn't point to a very positive potential. So he spent time in Borstal, then he graduates and ends up going to adult prisons. And here, I would say we start to see the true malevolence of his personality and also the true comfort that he feels with his negative behaviour. He isn't concerned about his actions. I think throughout this, you'll understand that he's quite proud of who he is. He's literally as far away from what a good human being can be considered. But I don't feel he has a level of shame. I don't feel he has a level of confusion about why he is the way he is. I think he's fully accepting of who he is, and I think he quite likes it. And like I said, that translates effectively to institutions, because if you have a confidence and an arrogance and a superiority complex, even if you're not very clever, if you know how to use force and violence to get what you want, well, arguably, you can get yourself into situations of respect in the places that should be there to punish you. So he's going to adult prisons now and he's displaying really serious aggression. And this isn't on an occasion, this is on numerous consistent occasions. So 28 previous convictions for 69 crimes dating back to 2006. This is just a rap sheet that is huge. And it really worries me when you see that kind of consistent criminal behaviour, because we're not rehabilitating. We're not getting any change. And if we're not getting any change and people are consistently regurgitating behaviour or getting worse in their behaviour and we're not ceasing it, then we're only going in one direction. It's not getting better, and it's certainly not getting better in this case. Now, those offences, they were quite a wide range. So racially motivated offences, assault on police, battery, assault occasioning actual bodily harm, burglary, theft of a vehicle, criminal damage, assaulting police officers again, and assaulting members of the public whilst he was on bail. See what I mean about just not having any consideration or care about repercussions? This is a guy who's on bail the very time when your behaviour is meant to be perfect because you're about to appear in court, charged potentially with some offences that you don't want to go to prison for. He don't care. Just carries on this really negative, aggressive behaviour. Now, between the 2nd of August 2012 and the 17th of April 2022, it's unbelievable. Literally unbelievable. McSweeney was reported 102 times whilst in prison. That's right, 102 times whilst in prison. Is that some kind of record? I don't imagine that you get some kind of special letter from the king. I don't think it's going to be that kind of centenary. But 102 times whilst in prison. And some of those actual crimes that were carried out in prison were really serious. So serious assaults on other inmates, improvised weapons being found in his possession. And can we all be honest about that? You don't have a weapon in your room for protection. Seriously, you don't. Because you're not wandering around the prison all the time with the weapon trying to protect yourself. You got it there because you're probably planning on injuring or killing somebody. Also, he's charged with general disobedience, so he just won't take orders. He's quite happy to refuse. There's no respect for the officers there. And he was also charged over his involvement in the 2014 Swaleside prison riots. So again, he's right at the heart of that. This is somebody who does not believe in rules, regulations and obedience in any way, shape or form, even in prison. Just throwing it out there. I think prison is the specific area that you're meant to behave so that you're allowed to leave. But never mind, he didn't get the memo. Now, in the 2014 Swaleside prison riot, basically, the prisoners just took over a whole entire wing, which is incredibly dangerous, of course, because they're literally running amok. And it's a little bit like I was talking about his gang involvement, that mob mentality. He's very well versed in it. They actually ended up having to get specialist SAS soldiers and the riot squad called in. And that demonstrates the level of violence that was being threatened. A prison officer was left needing hospital treatment, in fact, because he had a stab wound to his scalp. And during the riot itself, McSweeney started a fire in his cell. Because as we know, McSweeney has only a few brain cells and they're all at battle with one another, which is why, as opposed to damaging outside of his cell, he was like, maybe I'll just set my own cell on fire so I have literally nowhere to sleep. And maybe I can just lose all my possessions in there. Is it just me? Is it just me? I know there's not a right or wrong way to set fire to things. I'm just throwing it in there. Doesn't really make sense, does it? But there again, McSweeney. Very violent, very, very stupid. Both of those in equal measure. Now, he was definitely not a model prisoner, you can tell from what I've just gone through. But what's really concerning to me is that he has absolutely no shame about his criminality. I understand that lots of people go to prison. And I understand that a lot of victims go to prison because when we look statistically, particularly at male prisoners, a lot of these individuals have had really horrible, abusive lives. We don't talk about it a lot. But the truth is the prison population is full of victims. And because of that, even though these individuals who are more victims of circumstances and then action, even though they go, there's often a level of shame, an acknowledgement that realistically what they did was wrong. They got caught for it. They're getting punished for it. And it's not a nice thing for them. They're not out there bragging about it. Whereas this guy's completely the opposite. He's really happy with his criminality. He brags about it. He wears it as a badge of honour. And even when it comes down to his social media accounts, no, they're not nice little selfies, pictures of little dogs being cute. They're not shared clips of him and his friends just having a pro-social meal out. Why do that? Why do that when instead you can just post comments about court appearances, post comments about your jail time, because obviously That's what 99% of the public want to see, isn't it? We're all really impressed when people are talking about their court appearances and jail time. Only thing we could say is it's one of those that would mean that you would just swipe up past it as quickly as possible and hope that Instagram, etc., doesn't decide to start feeding you other individuals of such nature. Now, those who knew him, I'm not going to say friends, but those who actually knew him, moved in his circles, they said that from the get-go, as far as they were concerned, he wanted to be a gangster. He wasn't a gangster, but he wanted to be a gangster. To some degree, there are two types of gangster, aren't there? There's the brute, who's used for their force and their willingness to do some horrible things. And then there are those who are more clever and manipulate people around them. Clearly, he had the brute force and the willingness to be involved in these really horrible attacks, because we've seen it through his history so far. But he certainly didn't have the intelligence to make an actual leader as far as gang members are concerned. He would share pictures as well that are just really sad on Facebook, kind of portraying himself as one. The only thing was, he wasn't. He was just somebody who wished to be and couldn't be. But definitely as a human being, he had the wherewithal and desire to want to be involved in those circles, because it's a license to harm, isn't it? So when we kind of analyse McSweeney and his behaviour and his personality, it's almost as if violence and aggression were his default settings. And the other thing that's striking to me is when we're talking about violence, we're not just talking about violence to other people moving in his circles who are male. We're not talking about violence because somebody's crossed him. We're not talking about retribution. We're talking that some of this violence has been directed at women in the past. So August 2010, this is when he was 17, he's convicted of assaulting his partner at the time. So she says to the police, and I'm really glad that she went to the police, because at 17 years of age, being a young person, it can be really difficult to know what's right and wrong. A lot of us can acknowledge the reality of being young, you're innocent, you're naive, you don't really understand the consequences, relationships are confusing, and then suddenly somebody does something really horrible to you that you like, and you question yourself, what did I do to deserve this? Is this normal? Maybe this is just what relationships are like. But she obviously has the wherewithal and the nous to go and do something about it. And she tells the police he pushed her down the steps, he pulled her hair, and then he actually strangled her. Now, they are really high-level, dangerous behaviours. We're talking about opportunities to stop in that moment. Pushing somebody down the stairs, that's enough, isn't it? To go, oh my God, what have I done? I've just stepped out of my world of ration. And I've been violent, and now I need to apologise for my behaviour. It would not excuse that pushing down of the steps, but it would break that behaviour if you were at least a halfway decent human. Not for McSweeney. He carries on, he pulls her hair and strangles her. Now, strangling someone can kill them. I mean, pushing somebody down the stairs can kill them, but putting your arms around somebody's throat and choking somebody out, that's actually high-level violent behaviour to a point where you could kill them. That's attempted murder, isn't it? Now, her injuries were very visible, and therefore they had reason and cause to arrest McSweeney. Now, the reason that he said he responded and reacted this way is she'd been going on, and he'd lost his temper. Going on. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that if going on resulted in people being violently attacked, I would have spent 99.7% of my life in hospital, because I am somebody who's guilty of going on quite a lot. And I think that pretty much anybody who's ever had a decent relationship knows that feeling where you get on one and you just have a go, and you and your partner may be able to sort it out and so on and so forth, and often will, but there'll be periods of time where those arguments result in somebody nagging. It's just a totally normal experience in relationships. And yet he feels that that is a legitimate reason not just to be aggressive, but to be highly physically abusive. And it demonstrates how he feels women should be around him. Do as you're told. Don't step out of line. You put a foot wrong and I'm going to punish you. And that's deeply disturbing. Now, he ends up getting a 4-month detention and training order for that. Remember, he was only 17 at the time. Now, 11 years after that, he gets a 3-year restraining order placed on him. Now, that was all about preventing him from directly or indirectly contacting a particular woman at the time. This woman was called Samantha Bryan. Now, she had dated him when she was 14 and she'd suffered multiple instances of abuse during their four-year relationship. In fact, she was constantly in fear of him. And she said that the main thing that he would do and why she was always in fear of her life, essentially, was that the tactic he'd use, he'd get you on the floor and then he'd kick you and then he'd stamp on you. Now, again, they are behaviours that can kill. When we've covered stories on here about young men who've been murdered by other young men, the kicking and stamping tends to be a feature. Because firstly, you have a lot of force in those moves. And secondly, you can control the injuries. So basically, you can actually focus on exactly where you want to hurt the person. If they're on the floor, they can't get up, you go in for the head, it totally immobilizes them. It gives you complete power and domination over them, and it causes major damage.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Damage. And he's doing this to a girl who's basically in a relationship with him. And she talks about it being a tactic. And that means it has to have been regular. For it to have been a tactic, it's something that has been consistently used. And therefore, she clearly relates to it as being something that was regular. Also, on one of the occasions, he actually jumped on her face, bounced her head off the floor. So if you think about the level of violence in that, jumping on her face and bouncing her head off the floor, that could have caused a serious, serious brain injury. The hospital did actually say that she was really lucky that she didn't lose sight in one of her eyes. So this is a man who really does not care about damage, and he certainly doesn't have boundaries about male and females. He will hurt anybody. Between May 2018 and June 2019, we see this playing out again. He's abusive to another female partner. He'd slap her, punch her, beat her up, kick her in the ribs, drag her along the road. So he's not bothered at all about whether people see him. As far as he's concerned, if you cross him, it's fair game. And you can expect whatever he wants to dish out on you. Please, God, can somebody run in at this moment in time, remove him from our streets and lock him up, I don't know, for 1,000 years? Because what are we seeing? We're seeing a man who is not de-escalating his behaviour at all. None of the consequences have worked. It hasn't reduced his criminality. And he's getting more and more violent. And what does that mean for our society? And in fact, what does that mean for the woman that we're going to talk about today? Now, in February 2020, he's serving a prison sentence. And again, causes damage to his cell. Because that's what this man does. He makes his own room estate at home, sets his cell on fire when there's a riot. And again, while serving this sentence, he just damages his own cell because he wants some attention and he wants to let everybody know that he's the man. He's not afraid. He doesn't care about authority. Now, understandably, a prison officer has to come and speak to him about this because his behaviour is completely off the wall and it's not acceptable. And the way that he responds to this prison officer having this obvious conversation that's required with him is to say, "I'm going to kill you." Sorry? Yeah, I'm going to kill you. I'm literally here just to say that you can't do this to yourself. I know, but the way that I need to respond to this is by telling you, I'm going to cut your head off. That's literally what he said. He's going to cut off his head and open him. Just because the prison officer has to have a conversation with him about him ruining his cell. Utterly bizarre. And also, let's remind ourselves, these aren't just words. These aren't empty threats. This is a man who has high-level potential and historical reality of these actions. So, even in prison, like I said, nothing is changing. And this kind of history, it had happened before. So it's not as if that particular conversation with this prison officer is distinct. I mean, we have to remember he was involved in the riot where a prison officer got hurt. So there's history there. So in December 2015, he'd actually threatened a female prison officer and he threatened her with very serious harm. Then whilst he's on a segregation unit in March 2017, all a prison officer, a female prison officer, asked him to do is to remove some photographs from his cell. and he just gets absolutely abusive, aggressive, and he says to her, "I've stabbed govs before. Check my file and watch what I do to you." Now, the intonation there is he's willing to take on the governor. He's willing to stab the governor of a prison. So watch what he'll do to her. She's not even as important as the governor. But I also think it's a direct threat to the fact that she's female. It's saying, oh, I've taken on these particular individuals before, but with you being a female prison officer, well, there's going to be even more damage done. And again, like I said, this guy has got massive potential. These are not empty threats. These are based absolutely in reality of his history. We get to the 17th of June, 2022. McSween is released from prison. I don't know why we think that this guy should be walking the streets, but obviously the judicial system is there for a reason. He's obviously served his sentence. I do not believe he is safe to be walking our streets by any stretch of any imagination at all. So when he's released, he's obviously on a license because he'd actually been on a sentence for criminal damage, racially aggravated harassment, and also unauthorized possession of a knife in prison. So when you are released on license, because inevitably you get released before the full sentence is served, and then they license you till the end of that agreement. Sometimes licenses last for life, but obviously in this case that isn't so. But the terms of his release are specific, so they require him to attend appointments with his probation officer, which is something he immediately failed to do. He missed two appointments. I mean, there you go. What has actually changed? I will give you the answer. Nothing, nada, nothing at all. He doesn't care. Simple as that. Now, in my opinion, I think at that moment in time, they should just put the resources into dragging him off the street immediately and putting him back inside, because this guy hasn't changed and that means we're going to see more of the same. Obviously, because he breaches the probation services appointments, they do start proceedings to recall him to prisons. But like I said, I think it should be done on the day that he fails to attend the first actual appointment, because if he doesn't care about consequences, and we've seen violence before, why could we not expect that there's going to be exactly the same, and that's going to mean that innocent people get horribly affected because this guy is walking the streets? So they revoke his license on the 24th of June 2022. This is just a week after his release. And in the early hours of the following day, the police go around to his mother's because they're going to arrest him, but he's not there. Of course he's not, because McSweeney knows his system, so he knows that that's going to happen. He's not attended two of his probation meetings, and he's fully aware that the consequences are being returned to prison. So he either doesn't care about going back to prison, or he has no concern that they're going to find him because he's not intending to present himself to the authorities. So unfortunately, they can't return him to prison because obviously they can't find him. And obviously now he's not living with his mother, he needs to find somewhere else. So McSweeney has ended up moving in with a friend in his caravan, and that's located on the grounds of a fun fair in Valentine Park in Ilford. Unfortunately, even though we would hope that the police would know where he was or people would be given information about where he was, they don't at this moment in time. They're unaware of his location and therefore they can't arrest him, which means we have a ticking time bomb walking the streets. Now, bear in mind, McSweeney's just been released from prison. He's immediately breached his parole, so we'll know that the police are after him. That would make you believe, on a common sense level, that he's going to keep a low profile. But instead of him doing that, the seriousness of his offending behaviour was literally about to escalate beyond, I believe, what anybody could have conceived possible in the time we're going to talk about. We get to the 26th of June, 2022. This is just 9 days after this man has been released from prison. And he's just on the prowl on the streets of Ilford late at night. And I mean, he's on the prowl. There's no other way of describing it. And he has only one thing in mind without a shadow of a doubt, and that is violence. He is trawling the streets looking for a victim, and he's specifically looking for a woman. We're not talking about him searching out a guy to have a fight with. We're talking about him prowling the streets, predatorily wise, looking for a female. He'd been drinking earlier that night. He'd been with his friend who he was sharing the caravan with, and the behaviour on that evening per se had been horrific, genuinely. To say he was an unwanted nuisance is so minimising. That's how I've seen it described. He wasn't an unwanted nuisance to other people who were out there who were just trying to have a good time. He wasn't. He was a predator. I'll tell you about his behaviour and you can make your minds up yourself, but this was not low-level predatory behaviour as far as I'm concerned. So he's drinking in the Great Spoon of Ilford. It's a Wetherspoons pub. Don't get me wrong, nothing against the Wetherspoons pub. I like Wetherspoons. Does a very good veggie breakfast for a very reasonable amount of money. But nonetheless, that's where he is. So at that point, when he's taking the hospitality of that place, he is doing things that are so inappropriate. So he's continually pestering and harassing female patrons. He actually goes as far as to grope one of them, which in my opinion means that somebody should have instantly and immediately called the police. It's not acceptable for any male or indeed female to go up to some patron of a pub and start feeling them up inappropriately. Also, he went even further and then he starts trying to molest one of the female members of staff at the pub. I really struggle with how there is a legitimacy in our society around this kind of behaviour. This guy is literally groping women and trying to molest women. And because he's in a pub and he's drinking, it's just put down to that kind of behaviour. This is a criminal offence. And I wish that somebody had rang the police at that point because they had arrest warrant out for him and he could have been recalled to prison and I wouldn't be telling this story. We have to stop accepting this kind of behaviour. It's just totally inappropriate. The fact that he'd been doing this all evening as well, there were missed opportunities at this moment in time to actually bring him to justice. And again, it just speaks of how women have got to a point where there is a level of expectation about this kind of behaviour from certain males and that they don't have a right to do anything about that. I think that many of us listening to this, we will agree that if we were in a scenario like that, we would certainly inform the authorities. Or I don't know, if there was a bloke with you, the person who's trying to do that to you would probably come a real cropper, because we know that in those scenarios, often there'll be retaliation from a partner, understandably so as well. But this kind of behaviour is just running through this man's veins. And in the end, he does get thrown out of the pub. It's around 11 p.m. But he's been there all night drinking and he's got away with this behaviour. And again, this guy doesn't deal with consequences anyway. But in that circumstance, just getting chucked out of the pub, it really isn't a consequence when you're talking about sexually molesting and harassing females. So now he's drunk and he's on the streets alone. And instead of going back to the caravan nearby, he obviously has a picture of what he wants to do. He knows his potential and he wants to live it out. So instead of going back, he starts looking around for a female victim. And because we have CCTV now, and that's kind of one of the most striking things of the modern age, that you can see these crimes, so to speak, play out in real time. So he's captured on CCTV various times during the next couple of hours. He's staggering around. He's clearly very intoxicated at the time. And at one point, you see he's identified a target. There's a young woman. She's walking alone. She's available. She's vulnerable. What do we know about violent predators? We know that they look for people who are available and vulnerable and desirable. She's obviously fitting all of those qualities. And McSweeney knows he can exploit that. So he starts to follow her down Romford Road. He actually follows that poor woman for 20 minutes. Now, she's never actually been identified, but one of the things that you can tell from CCTV is she knows she's being followed by a man that she doesn't know. And on CCTV, whenever she kind of acknowledges his presence, he falls back. So again, that's validating her fear. This guy has to be concentrating on me because when I look, he's holding back, he's falling back. He's trying to act like I don't have to worry, but actually he's inciting my worry. He's amplifying it. So there's no doubt whatsoever that on his mind in that moment in time, he had intentions because he wants to be able to catch her by making her feel that he's no threat, but by keeping that tag on her. Now, at one point, this very sensible woman, She is obviously very scared, so she goes into a shop. And she's actually seen looking back at the doorway because she's evidently very concerned that he's going to follow her inside. And do you know what? She's right to be concerned. Because even though she's now in a shop, even though there's now another person around, even though, let's say, there are opportunities for her to elect for help, it does not deter McSweeney at all. Now, I know he's intoxicated. I appreciate that. So one could argue, well, he's not focusing and thinking in the way that he would do if he wasn't inebriated. But I don't think that that's an appropriate deconstruction of what we're seeing here. I think this is a man who's so arrogant, so confident, so selfish, so self-centered, so superior, even though his intelligence level should not have him in that position, that he genuinely just focuses and fixates and wants to carry out what he's decided he's going to carry out. Consequences are not his thing. What he's thinking about is, what do I want? How do I get it? And he's really not worried about whether people are witnessing it. He's really not concerned about the person in the shop with her. He's seen a victim and he wants that victim. And he actually loiters around the shop waiting for her to leave. And when she doesn't leave, because obviously she's thinking, gosh, there's this guy outside, he's obviously very predatory, or at least that would be her fear. She might be trying to rationalise, maybe I'm just being a little bit OTT, but enough for her to think, I'm not leaving this shop. So he comes in, doesn't buy anything, which is even more sinister, and she kind of hangs out in there, she watches him leave. And I wish at this point she'd called the police, because again, your instinct, your intuition is saying, this guy is not right. There is something wrong with this person. There is something scary about this person. I need to really protect myself in this situation because this individual may want to do me harm and it doesn't feel okay, the behaviour that he's exhibiting. So she doesn't do that, sadly, but she waits inside and she thinks to herself, you know, I'll obviously give some time so that he will have gone away and so I can get on with my journey. But what she doesn't know is he'd gone nowhere. He'd just hid nearby. So as soon as she leaves the shop, McSweeney just carries on pursuing her down Gloucester Road. Can you imagine what would be going on in her mind? Can you imagine the dread that would be flooding her system? This guy, now she knows he's absolutely 100% following her. She must have been absolutely terrified. And she begins to run, and damn straight run. Absolutely put as much distance as you can. And actually what's really thankful is on this occasion, she outran him. So she managed to get away from him. And what's terrifying, really terrifying, is she has no idea of how horrific the fate would have been if she'd actually been caught by him. Because we will find out exactly the kind of fate that will befall an individual he manages to target effectively. But she was a dead woman walking in that moment and had no idea about it. His later target's not going to be as fortunate. That's why I'm having to tell this story today. Now, before long, he actually identifies another potential victim. So he's absolutely on the prowl. It's as simple as that. And there's a woman, and she's just sitting alone in a chicken shop on Romford Road. Now, we can tell just from what I've talked about that this man is clearly a sexual predator. The behaviour that you've heard about him in the pub, that's enough to validate it. The fact that he's been trawling some poor woman just walking home, that's indicative of it. But this is going to really solidify why we know this about him. So he goes into that shop and he's...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Staring at this woman. And whilst he's staring at her, he puts his hand down his trousers and he begins masturbating. I genuinely wish there was a group of big burly men there in that moment, because I know that the vast majority of males find that kind of behaviour so disgusting, so disturbing, so absolutely inappropriate that there is usually quite an aggressive reaction. And actually, I wish that had occurred, because in this case, we're watching this man get away with these most disturbing behaviours in plain light, essentially. People are literally around and he's getting away with it. And there are other men in the shop, but they don't see that this is playing out. So he ends up walking out of the shop, and that's because of what I've just said, because the potential consequences, if they saw him properly doing that, would have been likely catastrophic for him, wouldn't have ended well for him. Then he goes outside, but he just keeps on watching her, just waiting for her to leave. Now, when the woman does actually leave, he ends up following her at a distance, and he only actually stops his pursuit when another woman catches his attention. So he looks over and he sees that there's a woman standing outside a community centre. Now, it's never been established whether the woman who was stood outside the community centre actually knew McSweeney, but there seems to be a different kind of reaction here. So first of all, he starts to talk to her. He puts his arm around her. He even actually puts his hand between her legs. Totally inappropriate behaviour. Horrific. And again, indicative of the kind of human being and sexual predator we're talking about. And then the pair walk down a side street before stopping, and then the unidentified woman just walks away. So it could be that there was just some kind of familiarity, and for that reason he doesn't attack her. Now, it's absolutely obvious that McSweeney's whole purpose that night is to find a victim. And bear in mind at the moment that we're talking about, he's actually only a few minutes away from where he's residing, so he could easily go and sleep this off. But that's not his intention. He spends almost the next hour just prowling around Cranbrook Road. And then we get to just before 2 a.m. in the early hours. This is when he spots his next potential victim. And she's emerging from a side road, and she's another young woman. She's walking alone, and it's almost like when you see a predator with their prey, he just locks on. It's as simple as that. He starts following her, and she comes aware of this. She recognises she's being pursued, and you see her looking over her shoulder, walking faster, trying to distance herself from him. And at one point, McSweeney actually overtakes her and just disappears into the grounds of a property. So clearly he's ducked into a garden, and that means the likelihood is he's about to pounce on her. You know, he could take his victim by surprise, he could drag her into the dark garden, but that young woman, she's got an intuition. She knows that something could be going dreadfully wrong for her that evening, and she thinks ahead, and it makes her make a conscious decision to just cross the road and literally safely enter another property, thank God. But again, she was absolutely in that moment his intended victim. And once again, she would never realise, that particular individual that evening would never realise how close she came to losing a life. And McSweeney's next target, she wasn't going to be so fortunate. Now, that person was 35-year-old Zara Alina. She was another complete stranger to McSweeney. And Zara had literally just qualified as a solicitor. She was a really successful woman. She was really intelligent. She was really loved. She had every single thing to live for. And she was everything that our society wants. A brilliantly bright, successful woman who was going to create an amazing future and influence and impact on others' lives positively. And she'd actually just started a new job at the Royal Courts of Justice. And according to her family, they said she was genuinely the happiest that she'd ever been. Also, Zara was an only child. And as an only child, she was also the main carer for her mother and her grandmother. Just think about that for a moment. She is such an important cog in her family. And we can also gather that from her actions in caring for her mother and grandmother, and also the choice of career that she took, had to be influenced by strong moral compass and a real strong sense of justice. Also, people said she lived life to the full. She volunteered in her spare time. So again, really, really pro-social. We know that people who volunteer, they've got an altruism. So her nature is one that this world needs. She wanted to make the world a better place. Zara was basically the absolute antithesis of McSweeney. She was a successful, loved person, and he would never know what it was like to be truly adored in the way that she was. It's as simple as that. He didn't have the character that applied that kind of relational experience. Her family actually described her as carefree. She was a real free spirit. She had a really caring heart. When you think about McSweeney, he was a violent waste of space who wanted to hurt people. So as I said, absolute antithesis. You could not get more different people. Now, earlier that night, Zara had basically been out with a friend, Bamina Bharti, and she'd actually been in the Great Spoon of Ilford. So that was, remember, the same pub that McSweeney was later thrown out of, which is just an awful sliding doors moment, isn't it? She'd actually been in there. He'd been thrown out, and that should have meant that she was safe. But no, they met again in this horrific sliding doors situation. Now, she left that particular pub with a friend at 2 a.m. and Bamini, they called a taxi, but Zara didn't have far to go, so she wanted to walk the short distance home. She had done this so many times before. She felt really safe in a community. She was a well-known face. And of course, we have to acknowledge that you should be allowed to walk wherever you want, whenever you desire. She's just going through the motions of something she's done many, many times before. And so many of us have that bias in our lives, don't we? Have that bias that because it's familiar, because we've done it before, it's safe. And it should be. It really should be. But it's not always. And I think we can all agree that we just wish that Zara had done as Bamini had and called a taxi for herself, because she could never have foretold that this kind of individual was lurking the streets. I just wish to God that she hadn't trusted her environment that particular night. Now, when Bamini arrives home, she actually calls Zara because she's an excellent friend and she wants to make sure that her friends got home safely, but she gets no reply. And she gets no reply for good reason, because her friend's never going to be able to answer the phone again. It's as simple as that. So after leaving Bamini, Zara ends up walking to the junction of Northbrook and Cranbrook Roads. And tragically for her, this is where McSweeney happens to be. Their paths cross in that moment. Now, he's still hunting for a victim, and Zara's got absolutely no idea of the danger that she's in. She's just walking home. McSweeney was actually only minutes from Zara's home. When he saw Zara, he immediately fixated on her. So he waits for her to go past, and then he begins following her. And he continues his pursuit, and he's gradually closing the distance between him and her till he's just a few metres behind. When Zara reaches the number 268 Cranbrook Road, McSweeney strikes. Now, he evidently chose this spot on purpose because the property got a wide paved driveway. And also there were no other people around at that moment in time. Zara didn't stand a chance. She was 5'1". She was a slight build. She gets ambushed by this far larger male. She didn't have any warning either. Home security camera actually captured the attack. McSweeney grabs her from behind. Can you imagine the shock? In that moment, being grabbed by a force, totally unaware of what's happening, the shock coursing through your veins, and then he pulls her backwards. He's got one arm round her neck, the other over her mouth to try to stop her screaming. He drags her into the darkness of the driveway. She's frantically struggling, trying her best to fight him off. McSweeney manages to part her legs, and she continues during the attack to just try to fight him off. She tries to get up. He pulls her back down onto the ground. And residents of the area, they hear Zara's frantic screams. They call emergency services. At least they do that. I'm going to be honest with you. If you hear a girl or a woman screaming close to you, open your windows, get out of your door, arm yourself with something so that you can threaten them. I know that not everyone will agree with that, but I don't care, because this is a life. Zara's life had great meaning. And in a house, most of us have got access to things that could cause damage to somebody. And you know what? Most offenders don't want to take on more than the person that are trying to harm. And if you hear somebody in serious distress screaming for their lives, ringing the police, yes, that's positive. But opening your door, armed with a hammer, shouting at the top of your voice that serious damage is going to occur, doesn't mean you have to go out there and do anything. But the consequence of that reality is often enough to make the offender remove themselves. Like I said, some of you will have different views on that. But all I think about is how do we do the most we can to protect an innocent person like Zara? Like I said, I'm so glad that they called emergency services, but I don't think that was enough by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think Zara's family will feel that either. Now, they don't know how, but at some point, because obviously Zara is alerting to the fact that she's having this horrible incident occurring, he manages to knock her unconscious. She is petite and he is very strong and inebriated and very willing to be violent. So making her unconscious wouldn't be the hardest thing to do. Probably she had a blow to the back of the head. So if you imagine he probably smashed her head against concrete, that in itself would do it. Then he drags her further into the driveway. Then obviously, as this is a sexual assault, he starts to remove her clothes. He tries to unsuccessfully rape her. And I think that the fact he couldn't do that would have incited absolute aggression and rage, because he's such a failure of a human being. And in his head in that moment, he's even a failure in the kind of crime that he's trying to commission in that moment. But even though he's done this horrible thing and he's attacked her violently and she's unconscious, that's not enough for him. That's not enough. The attack is far from over. Then, as opposed to just walking away, as opposed to accepting that he's harmed this woman and now he needs to escape, he doesn't have any intention of doing so. He doesn't want to. He has found a victim and he is going to take great pleasure doing what he's decided he wants to do. And it's not just sexual. He decides that he's going to attack her again and again. So he's repeatedly kicking her. He's stamping on her. Just think about him compared to this petite young woman. He's stamping on her, on his defenseless, unconscious victim, and he's stamping on her with great force. But this isn't out of control. This isn't out of control explosion of violence. This isn't somebody who's frenzied and blitz orientated. Absolutely not. This is deliberate. His attack is very sadistic, is very violent, but it is so controlled. He's focused. It's brutal. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I'll tell you why we know he knew exactly what he was doing, because at one point he gets disturbed. So someone's passing by. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself, so he ducks down out of sight and waits till they're gone. So he's got time to stop, decompress, realise what he's done in that moment. But that's not his intention. He's completely in control, because he goes and takes that break and he goes back to Zara. Continues kicking her, stamping on her. He stamped on her head and her body. And then you think, okay, finally, he's stopped. Finally, he's leaving the driveway. But no, he leaves. Then he quickly returns, continues the vicious assault. He's repeatedly stamping on her. He even used a concrete post so that he could get his balance, so that he could really, really elicit force on her. And it's clear from what I've just said that the whole reasoning behind that was one intention, and that intention was he was going to kill her. He was not going to let his victim walk away from this. Now, after he, shall we say, is satisfied with the sadism that has just taken place, he searches her, he takes various items, and then he leaves again. But again, he's not finished. So after walking down the street, he returns once again to Zara. And this time he bends down next to her and looks. And then again, he stamps on her again. And then, and only then, flees the scene. I think probably when he bent down next to her, he's checking whether she's alive. He's figuring out whether he can hear any breathing. And just for good measure, he thinks, I'll make sure. And that's why he stamps on her. In total, the abduction, the sexual assault, and the brutal physical attack, it lasted 9 minutes. I mean, 30 seconds of fear is something that lasts a lifetime with any human. It really does. It infects your mind and your moments. Horror and fear and terror, they're so transformative that we can all recall moments of those tiny seconds that feel like hours when we're horrified. 9 minutes is a lifetime. Zara's phone, keys, purse, leggings, and underwear, they were all found later. They'd been abandoned. They'd been thrown in a nearby street. And it would later be suspected that the reason that he took her phone from the scene was he feared that if she did come round, if she was still alive, then she might call for help. And if she called for help, then she might give a description of him if she survived. So that's why he takes that away, takes that possibility away. McSweeney left Zara in a driveway. She was partially naked. She was bloodied. She was battered. She was dying. And then he just returned back to the caravan where he was staying. CCTV actually captures him arriving back at the funfair. And they can even tell on that CCTV that he's got visible blood stains on his shoes, on his clothing. Now, Zara was actually discovered later on in the early hours of that morning by a couple who were walking by. And what's really harrowing is, in spite of the horrific injuries that I've outlined, despite that horrific assault that she'd endured, she was still alive at this point. I mean, she was critically injured. She could barely breathe, apparently. And she'd suffered horrific, horrific injuries to her head and to her neck. And a woman actually gave her CPR. Real bravery there, you know. Wanted to give Zara the best chance.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Surviving. Obviously, emergency services were called, and this is at 2:44 a.m. Paramedics, they tried so hard. They fought valiantly to try and save her on the driveway. Then they transport her to the Royal London Hospital. It's around 4 a.m. in the morning. And this is where staff just desperately tried to save her life. But tragically, she gets pronounced dead at 9:58 a.m. When they did the autopsy, they later established that Zara had suffered 46 separate injuries. This included severe blunt force trauma to the head. She had deep lacerations to her scalp. She had bruising to her lips, her eyes, her ears, her nose, her jaw. She had injuries to her genitals. And the cause of death, which I'm sure most of you will appreciate, was the catastrophic brain injuries and the strangulation that she experienced. So straight away, the police know that they have a murder investigation that needs to be immediately launched, and that's exactly what happens. Now, just hours, just think about this, because we're talking about McSweeney and where he would be psychologically. You know, he's just horrifically slaughtered this poor woman. Where would he be? Hiding out? Coming to his senses? Acknowledging that he's done it and turning himself in? All these are possibilities, right? But actually, hours after the killing, CCTV picks up McSweeney just walking amongst families at the funfair. So he's just kind of seeming quite normal, nothing untoward about his characteristics and actions. It just seems like he's getting on with his day. Now, it turns out he is carrying a plastic JD sports bag. Now, that actually contained the bloody shoes and clothing he'd worn whilst killing Zara. So even though there is no sophistication in the kind of crime he's just carried out, you know, there's CCTV everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere. This is not a guy who's going to get away with it. But remember, he's not bright at all. He's very arrogant. So he's thinking, well, I need to get rid of these. That firstly shows he knows exactly what he's done. And secondly, it shows that he's trying to get away with it. So he's clearly compos mentis. He knows what he's done is wrong and he doesn't want to be caught for it. Now, it does not take the police long. And when I say long, I imagine 4 seconds when this happens, because he's on CCTV and the clips of Zara's last movements end up getting circulated amongst the police. Officer straight away says that's Jordan McSweeney. Also, this particular officer knows exactly where he could be found. So they put the footage together, and because of this, the police are able to track McSweeney's movements. This includes from being thrown out of the pub to the attack on Zara, and of course his movements after. So in the last piece of footage, McSweeney's literally seen climbing back over the fence into Valentine Park, exactly where he was staying in the caravan, not far from when Zara's been found. He is bang to rights. Every day of the week, they have him in real time carrying out this horrific crime. They are going to get him. Oh, I bet those officers could not wait. Also, if it wasn't damning enough that they've literally got him carrying out the crime on CCTV, he also left 2 bloody footprints on the concrete post that he'd been using to balance himself when he was attacking and stamping on Zara. Just unbelievable. So he's soon arrested and basically brought in for questioning straight away. And officers later on were able to find the bloodstained trainers and also the clothing, because he'd hidden them in the Funfair ticket office. I mean, obviously no one's ever going to find that. I mean, if anybody needs to hide anything, ever, you find a Funfair ticket office and basically you can be assured that it will never be found. Anything secret, anything you want to keep from members of your family, anything you want nobody ever to know about again. You find any local or non-local Funfair ticket office, basically sorted. It's like some kind of magic cell. Genuinely, this man is so fundamentally stupid that he should have been locked up purely for that reason alone. Anyway, they take him in, and at the police station, all you get is more of McSweeney. Totally uncooperative. So first of all, he refuses to give his name or address, even though they have his face on record. Just that alone. Listen, Mr. McSweeney, we know you, Mr. McSweeney, because we have a long record of you on our files. Also, you're on CCTV last night, Mr. McSweeney. But no, he wants to be as objectionable as he can be. I think if somebody's like that and guilty, they should automatically get an extra year or so added on for every indiscretion they show during these experiences. I am not queen of the world. That's not ever going to happen, but I feel there would be justice to it. I don't think anybody would disagree with my line of desire regarding that kind of, shall we say, slightly rough justice, but nonetheless, absolutely deserved justice. So he doesn't do anything to be cooperative. And when they notice injuries, he says he's been bitten by a dog, but he refuses, of course, to have any treatment because that would demonstrate he was not bitten by a dog. Also, he decides to tell them that he suffers from ADHD and also from split personality disorder, because obviously he's not aware of the fact that it's not known as split personality disorder. And you would imagine that he'd know it was DID if he suffered from DID, dissociative identity disorder. But let's not split hairs with this guy. Clearly, he's just a massive liar. Also, ADHD and DID do not make you a murderer. Simple as that. But he also has no real care or consideration about why he's been taken in. He doesn't care about the seriousness of the situation. He doesn't care that a woman has been brutally murdered. In fact, I would say that he seemed bored and disinterested. He just seemed to feel it was an imposition on his time. And whilst he's in custody, he even threatens officers. He says, we're going to get fighting then. Part of me wishes that the officers had said yes and brought in 15 of them. I mean, he didn't specify whether it was just going to be him one-on-one, did he? But again, apparently And that's not actually the correct protocol in these scenarios. Also, he said, just because I'm in cuffs, don't think I'll bite your face off, cuz it's not a joke. Honestly, that sentence alone should receive 5 years in solitary confinement. Just throwing it out there. Just because I'm in cuffs, don't think I'll bite your face off, cuz it's not a joke. It doesn't make sense. So it's definitely not a joke. It's not even a normal sentence. The grammar police are coming to take you away and place you somewhere on a very far away cold island in a very dark cell, and you're only going to be fed water and the occasional anchovies. Don't know why I said anchovies. As somebody who doesn't eat anything like that, they just look a bit disgusting. Anyway, as you'd expect for somebody of this level, refuses to make any intelligible comment during the questioning, just grunts. He ignores what is being asked. He closes his eyes, looks like he's trying to fall asleep, sits with his head and his folded arms on the table, even at one point just yawns really loudly and tells the officers that they're boring him. That they're boring him. However, what I will tell you is that his disposition did seem to change quite a lot when he was charged with Zara's murder and her attempted rape. This is on 29th of June, 2022. And at that point, apparently, he started crying. Yeah. Although, can we all be honest, they're not tears for Zara. They're tears for himself. Because he knows he's banged to rights. There's no getting out. There's no going home. This is a crime of such gravity that if he's to walk the streets again, it would be surprising, genuinely. The level of that crime we've talked about, it's of such a high violence. It's so disgusting and disgraceful that the imagination that we could ever expect this person to ever be rehabilitated, I just think it's so low that possible. In fact, I think it's absolutely impossible. I don't believe this person could be rehabilitated in 1,000 years. End of. Now, from the time of his arrest and throughout all of the subsequent investigation, McSweeney shows no remorse whatsoever for his actions. Now, he does plead guilty. This is in November 2022 at the Old Bailey. So he pleads guilty to attempted rape and murder. And let's be honest, even though he only does this a few weeks before his trial is set to commence, so he doesn't plead guilty until then, the reality is he has no choice. There is overwhelming evidence pointing at his guilt. It's all on CCTV. So McSweeney ends up being sentenced on 14th of December 2022. And if he hasn't been disrespectful enough throughout all of what I've told you today, the final act of disrespect, as far as I'm concerned, was to his victim and her family, because he refused to leave his cell for the hearing. I don't know about you. I am quite a peaceful person, okay? I tend to abide by the rules and regulations and morals that our society sets. Not always, some of them are stupid, but the vast majority of them, right? And there's a reason for that, because I think there are consequences to certain actions, and those consequences are important. Partly it regulates the way that we are, but also it kind of reaffirms how we should be anyway. If this scenario was played out in my court and I was the judge, I would feel that it was appropriate to drag that man from his cell by force. By force. I think it's totally acceptable to use reasonable force in situations where somebody refuses to do what they are being told to do. Her family needed their day in court. They deserved to be able to look into his eyes and tell him what he had done to their family, what they had stolen from their world. I don't feel it's acceptable because someone's like, oh, I don't want to go. Well, you know what? You're going. I don't want to go. I'm going to sit here. Well, you know, you're not, because we're literally going to drag you from here. Even if you're in a straitjacket, you're going in. You're sitting down and you're going to look at those people when they tell you what you have done. But he doesn't. He just gets to refuse, gets to stay in his cell. So that family's victim impact statements, they weren't heard by him. They weren't heard at all by the one person who should have been forcibly made to hear them. To hear the devastating irreparable impact that his actions had on them. Now, Judge Mrs. Justice Chima Grubb, she was satisfied that McSweeney had always fully intended to kill his victim. He wanted to find a vulnerable woman that night. He wanted to sexually assault her that night. She felt that he was prepared to use whatever force was necessary, including murder. McSweeney was sentenced to a life with a minimum term of 38 years. I actually don't think that's enough. I think it should have been life without parole. His history is so huge, criminality-wise, and his consequential thinking and capacity to change is so broken and impaired that 38 years is not going to change him. If anything, it's going to make him more sadistic. And yeah, he may be frail. And yeah, it may be less possible and probable for him to do the damage that he could do as a younger male. But nonetheless, his potential is there. I would hope that the parole board will refuse that he is ever to be released. I hope that it's tried again and again, he's rejected again and again, so that he feels the abandonment that he so deserves to feel by our society, by our system. This case is horrific. And it's horrific for loads of reasons, but what's so horrific is this is an opportunistic stranger attack. It's terrifying that a predator like McSweeney is just roaming around the streets at night looking for a victim. It's terrifying to imagine that a predator like McSweeney was just wandering around the streets at night looking for a victim. It could have been any of us, literally. It could have been you or me if we crossed his path. Now, he did have a reputation for becoming really violent when he was on drugs or on drink. And of course, we do know he was heavily drinking the night that he killed Zara. And that could have contributed to his violence. But remember how controlled he was within the actual attack. So I'm not going to give him any leverage for the actions being influenced by alcohol. I just think what alcohol did was let him be his true self. It's as simple as that. For me, he intended to kill Zara. Simple as. Yes, she survived for 8 hours after the attack, but remember him bending down, remembering going in for the last kick, that's because he wanted her dead. And for Zara, imagine the physical and psychologically torturous ordeal. Now, in mitigation, so this is during sentencing when they bring up the mitigating factors as to why somebody may not get the harshest sentence possible, the defence claimed that Zara would only have been unconscious from very early on during the attack. Can we just take a minute to talk about how ridiculous that mitigation is? Well, yes, our client did indeed murder this poor, defenceless, innocent woman. But she was already unconscious when he went ahead and grotesquely abused her body to the point where she was murdered. It could have been worse. She could have been awake during it. No. None of this is mitigation. Mitigation is you were horribly abused growing up. Mitigation is that prior to this situation, you'd lived a pro-social life. Mitigation is a physically obvious reality. Mitigation is not assuming something that firstly you don't know. They don't know whether Zara felt every single blow or otherwise. They don't know. None of us can know. We can make assumptions, but it's not a reality. And that is not mitigation. Oh yeah, he killed her, but he didn't kill her as badly as he could have. Yes, he did. Now, the prosecution disagree with this entirely. They argued there was evidence suggesting otherwise. And I am glad that they did that. And furthermore, on top of the fact that that mitigation should have been ignored anyway, on an aggravation level, McSweeney had only been released 9 days earlier on parole. How was he ever deemed not to be a threat to the public? Bear in mind, he knew he'd broken the terms of his license, he'd failed to keep appointments with his probation, and he knew that he'd be imminently arrested and returned to prison because he'd breached these conditions. So therefore, he went out of his way to make sure that in the interim, he got to carry out his warped desires. He got to commit this murder. Now, obviously we've talked about quite a lot of, shall we say, traits in certain men that are diabolical, but I do want it to be known that the vast majority of men would never dream of hurting anybody. They wouldn't, let alone a woman. I know that these things happen And I know that there are some very violent, horrible human beings, males and females included, but we can all agree that there are lots and lots of men who are good. Most actually would try to intervene if they saw a woman being assaulted. But there is a minority of violent predators. There are a minority of individuals with Machiavellian, narcissistic and psychopathic traits, and certainly this man is one of them. There are individuals out there who are predators with sociopathic, psychopathic mindsets, just like McSweeney. Dangerous, sexual predators. No remorse for his victim. A woman was sexually assaulted and violently murdered by him, and he didn't care. He will never be capable of rehabilitation. McSweeney is somebody that needs to die in prison, hopefully painfully. He may have had a dysfunctional childhood to some degree, but that does not justify his behaviour in any way, shape or form, because it was by no means dysfunctional compared to so many millions of others who go on to lead pro-social good lives. In 2015, the Femicide Census was founded. The Femicide Census had an aim, which was to draw attention to the issue of femicide in the UK. Now, femicide is defined as the killing of any woman and girls by men. A report that was done, which covered the period from 2009 to 2018, I'll be honest, guys, it made really concerning reading. A woman is killed in the UK every 3 days by a man. Of these, 62% of those killed are killed by men they were in an intimate relationship with, so partners, ex-partners or casual relationships. Only 8% of femicides were carried out by complete strangers, and obviously Zara's murder that we've talked about today, that falls into that random opportunistic attack. Between April 2020 and March 2021, 109 women were killed by men. The year ending September 2021,
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
40,572 women were victims of sexual assaults. That's a 13% increase on the previous year. In 2022, 25 women were murdered in their homes or on the streets of London alone. Now, these included 43-year-old mum of two, Yasmin Chakaifi. She was stabbed to death in January 2022 by her ex-husband, 41-year-old Liam McCasker. She actually had suffered years of abuse before she was killed. Now, McCasker, ironically, was fatally injured at the scene because a passerby who witnessed the attack literally drove their car into him because the person didn't want to see him escaping. Fortunately as well, no charges were brought against that 26-year-old driver in the long run, but it was very scary for that particular person at the beginning because there was talk of them being charged. And we have to say that actually they acted absolutely heroically. They saw this crime playing out and tried to intervene. Transpired in that case, there was already an outstanding arrest warrant for McCasker, and that was because he'd been stalking a victim, which was obviously Yasmin. So there was actually an order for him to have been arrested, and he hadn't been arrested. And the consequence is she lost her life. In May 2022, really popular 21-year-old Polish student Ania Jedrzejczyk, they were ambushed whilst walking home in an alleyway in Ealing. Again, opportunistic, random attack, just like Zara's killing. Ania was repeatedly stabbed. This guy was just wearing a balaclava and he used a kitchen knife and tried to decapitate her. Many of you won't have heard of that killing. Fortunately, they have actually caught her killer, Denis Akpomaday, and he's been charged with her murder. He does await trial, but they are convinced that they have the killer. But just going through those, it's harrowing, isn't it, guys? It's harrowing that we're talking about these women being killed by partners, but also in these random attacks. Now, following McSweeney's sentencing, Zara's family paid tribute to her and they described her as the light of their lives. They stated this: she walked everywhere. She put her party shoes in a bag and donned her trainers. Zara believed that a woman should be able to walk home. They described as well how the family had been absolutely broken forever. Zara's aunt, Farinaz, she said, "The family don't want her last hours, her end, to define her." She stated, "Zara literally means radiance, and she was the heart of us, the heart of our family, and the heart of her community, the heart of her friends, and that's how we remember her. That's what's been taken, the heart of us." This has been a really hard case to talk about because the reality is, particularly for women, it's our worst nightmare playing out in reality. The idea that you can leave a place of social experience, walk home and never make it because a random predatory male steals your life, it's something that lives within our nightmares. And for Zara, that nightmare became a reality. I'd be really interested to know your thoughts, your feelings on this. You may not have heard of this case. I don't necessarily feel that we give enough sound and amplification to these kind of cases. And again, it's just a nudge to remind us that even though we should be safe in our communities, even though we should be able to take for granted walking home, when these predators are about, they look for availability and they look for vulnerability, and no victim is ever to blame. But sometimes we have to walk in the shoes of these predators to protect ourselves. Zara was going to be somebody who changed lives. She certainly had in the past. And our whole society is lacking a little bit more, because she's no longer walking our streets. She's no longer able to do that stuff that she was so born to do. So, obviously, as ever, we dedicate this to Zara and her family. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
That's always kind of been her thing, right? Drawing?
You have to promise not to freak out.
Amber drew that?
She's working through some stuff.
You know, feelings aren't bad. When you get angry, sad, or scared, put it in here, where it can't hurt anyone.
Here's the thing. Life is all about balancing the good and the bad.
I saw an eyeball with legs.
Every part of that was horrifying.
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.